This, way too loud. This is the Locked On Auburn podcast. Zach Blackerby and Michael Pappas of ESPN 106.7. Michael, hello.
Hey.
What was that?
Dude, I'm just pumped, man.
What are you pumped about?
It's a beautiful day. It's a Tuesday. Got a lot going on. We're going to hear from Gus Malzahn later today and hopefully some players also. So, it's just a beautiful day to be alive.
I love that, man. You've got me fired up. You have me fired up. Painter Sharples will join us in a few minutes. He's finishing up something studio related in the other studio. But, you know, I'm you and I were kind of talking about it beforehand in our production meeting, if you will, about kind of a dull week. I mean, Auburn beat Tulane by about as much as Vegas expected them to. And then after that, it's like, okay, now you got to play Kent State. And really the main storyline going into this game is, okay, Auburn needs to win by 30-ish. It's kind of the unanimous number that everybody's throwing out there. Vegas threw out 35 and a half, I think, is the last one I saw. So
that's a lot.
It's a lot of points, but Auburn's a lot better than this team, or at least they should be.
That's five touchdowns for all you math whizzes out there.
Says the engineer in the room.
It's almost 12 field goals. So,
how many safeties?
The bookstore better get that leg warmed up.
That's right. That's right. Start stretching that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the main storyline going into it. And like you had the Woody Barrett thing, but it was brought to our attention on Twitter yesterday
by a big Kent State fan, I guess.
I guess so. But he's been benched. Woody Barrett's not even going to be the starter. So that's kind of I don't know. That kind of puts a damper on any kind of storyline that we wanted.
Shout out to Jordan Powell. At S-M-U-P-H-Y, S. Muffy, for bringing it to our attention that Woody Barrett got benched on Saturday.
Yeah, because I did not know that. And, you know, normally that kind of stuff you see on Twitter, that kind of stuff you see on message boards, but there's really not a whole lot of talk about that. So I believe him, but that's just kind of...
Based on nothing more than that he's a listener of the show.
Why would he lie about that? Why would Jordan Powell make that up?
No, it's just funny. I did this. I believe him also, but it's like, we had no idea. And then this one guy reached out on Twitter, and we're both like, oh, guess he got benched.
All right, guess it's another quarterback. But, going into it, like, there's just not a whole lot there. Did you see Texas A&M's starting running back is out for the season? Did you see that?
I did not see that.
Yeah, so obviously that will have an impact to some degree on Auburn's game next weekend, which we have a kickoff for, and you're pumped about
it. I'm pumped.
All right, so it's the CBS game, the 2:30 game. Tell people why you're pumped about it.
I literally threw my hands up in the air in Zach's office during
our production
meeting.
You almost hit the ceiling.
When he told me this. Kyle Field at night is one of the toughest places to win in the country. And just the fact that the game is not at night makes a huge difference. Really playing, I think, in most stadiums, but especially at Kyle Field. It's just like something about it. With the student section, it gets rocking. They can fit, 110,000 people in there. I mean, it's wild at night. And just the mere fact that it's during the day, I think, gives Auburn a much better chance to win.
You love Texas so much.
I do, but I don't even think this is a Texas thing, because I don't think that DKR in Austin is a really tough place to play. I don't think TCU is a tough place to play. You know, Texas Tech, Baylor, like, it's just Kyle Field at night.
Painter Sharples of ESPN 106.7 is now joining us. He has entered the studio. And Painter, you enter hearing the conversation, Michael talking about Texas. Are you surprised at all?
Can't say I'm surprised. If you guys are y'all talking about the no air conditioning claim that Ed Orgeron has leveled against the Texas Longhorns?
No, what's up with that?
Quite juicy.
I love that chair.
That was the chair.
I love that chair so much.
So at first I thought you went meh, and then I thought you farted. So I was like, whoa, that was a hard pivot, and neither of those things happened. Ed Orgeron said that he was in touch with Louisiana Tech, who had played Texas, and that they said they didn't have air conditioning, and so LSU brought some fans, some coolers or whatever. He also went on to say, I think it had more to do with us playing, 93 snaps against a really physical team, and was kind of, I think, pointing out that they didn't have air conditioning, but also trying to say it was really hot that day. It was 98 degrees. There was some humidity in the air. And
sure.
Texas, of course, the athletic director not long after, sent out a written statement and said, so we haven't heard any complaints from either the schools about that, and the air conditioning is fine. So it will be curious. I will be curious to see what happens in the next 24 hours, if this one sort of fades, or if it kind of, if there's a little back and forth here, because I don't think Ed Orgeron would lie about that.
How do you think Ed Orgeron says air conditioner?
Air conditioner.
I think you nailed that. I think you nailed that, Painter. Now, but before you came in, Painter, we were talking about how this is kind of a dull week, despite it being early in the football season, because Auburn's coming off a team that they should have beaten by a certain amount, depending on who you ask in the Auburn fan base. And then going into Kent State, there's just not a whole lot of electricity around town right now.
Yeah, both from a broader perspective, I don't think there's a ranked matchup this weekend. Now, sometimes that turns out that you get some upsets that you didn't expect, but in terms of Auburn, yeah, it does feel a little flat, because you had the huge win against Oregon where it kind of felt like they didn't deserve to win it, but the defense played lights out, especially in the second half, and the offense did enough to get the win. And then I think people hope that Bo Nix would be a little bit more crisp against Tulane, but we've talked about this, Zach. I think there are some NFL prospects. I'm pretty confident there are NFL prospects on that Tulane team. And so
You're right.
I have friends who are saying, look, it doesn't matter. Auburn out recruits them. They're not even in the same stratosphere. I think that you have to remember that they have a freshman quarterback who just played his second game ever. I think the interior of the offensive line is still struggling. And quite frankly, all offseason, we heard about just how much better the offensive line has gotten. And so far, I haven't seen much of that. Maybe you guys disagree. I'm certainly not going to label myself as an offensive line expert, but I do think the interior of the offensive line thus far has left the Auburn offense wanting more.
Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get your favorite live event. Enter promo code KICKOFF at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100. That's promo code KICKOFF in the Vivid Seats app to get any tickets to your favorite live event. That's KICKOFF at checkout. Painter, you made a comment. Yes?
I was just going to say, Painter, I completely agree with
I do too.
Everything you just said. Like, especially the last bit there about the offensive line. They certainly do not look better. They are definitely still struggling. But how good does that Oregon win look now?
It looks good.
What, after their game?
After Oregon comes out and just absolutely beats the snot out of Nevada,
right?
77-7 or whatever it was.
I think Auburn could have a top five defense, and it's more likely that I think that they will end up being on the field a lot. Like last year, they will end up with a top 10 defense this year, and it may be one of the best they've ever had. I don't want to like throw that out too early, because we've watched all of two games.
Oh, it totally could be.
But when you look at how much NFL talent could be on it and how well they've played thus far, you're right, that Oregon win, at least after 1 week, aged nicely.
I mean, the issue is the offensive line. I agree with you, Painter. And then Michael and I have varying opinions on Booby Whitlow. Carl Von Drunker, which I hope is his real name, tweets at me. After two rewatches of the Tulane game, which props to you for sitting through that, man, my take is the Auburn O-line just isn't nasty. I don't think there's any dog in them, Kim especially. If they could add just a bit of mean, they'd be better. And, you know, you see that with all these offensive lines, just that scrappiness, that that mean streak in them, you know, like he
grit.
Says. Grit. Yeah, sure. Sure. Brings his lunch pail to work, if you will. But, you know, I don't think you see that in the interior offensive line. I agree with him. And I think that's really why they have a hard time moving guys in the running game. I think they've done okay in the passing game. I know some people are more critical of them than I am, but I think some of that's a bow. I think some of that's just the ball needs to be out quicker. And it's just, I mean, he's a true freshman. I don't think it's anything unexpected.
He did miss some throws that surprised me against Tulane.
Really?
I was like, I'm, you know, I get it, because he probably is just still adjusting. But, I mean, I think he's going to be a really good passer. And there were just some throws that I was like, oh, that just wasn't a great throw.
Yeah, the Hastings play at the end of the first half comes to mind.
And when, for the record, he's allowed to like have some mistakes as a young quarterback. You knew that was going to be like, also, he's going to turn the ball over some more. People should be ready for that.
Yeah.
I think he's going to continue to miss throws at times, and I think he's going to force some things.
I mean, NFL quarterbacks, the best of the best, overthrow deep throws sometimes. I mean, it just kind of happens.
And you'd rather overthrow than underthrow it in that situation. So, yeah. You know, you can tell he's being timid with taking care of the football. I mean, especially against Tulane. And I'm sure they drilled that into his head all, you know, after, like, watching those two throws against Oregon, is just take care of the football, take care of the football. And I think at times I'd rather the true freshman be conservative and safe with it than just kind of going in there and thinking you can make every throw.
I'm with you. I think you'd rather him not turn the ball over and miss than to try to force it, which, I think he's – I mean, that was one thing we heard about his fall camp was that whether it was the speed of the game, whether it was him trying to make a play, and I think you saw that in Oregon with one of those interceptions. There were two of them, mm-hmm. but there was one that I think you could really look at was he really
going
just –
to Seth.
Yeah, he just wanted to make a play, and right. might have been better to see another down.
Michael, you had a segment idea. You still want to do that?
Yes.
Okay.
I was thinking we could do some winners and losers from Auburn or some related teams from this weekend. Like we've been saying, a little bit of a slower news
week. From the Auburn-Tulane game?
Thought this could be a nice little segment for us here on Tuesdays.
All right. I got one on offense and one on defense.
Okay.
Spencer Nye, the Swiss Army Nye, if you will. I think he continues to do a good job.
Hammer. His nickname is Hammer.
Which one do you like better, Painter? You like Hammer or the Swiss Army Knife?
I love play on words. Like the Hammer is a legitimately just good one because he's just a dude.
Now, Michael was quick to correct me. It's not the Hammer, right?
It's Hammer.
It's Hammer.
And Gus called him Hammer. It is not a Zach nickname. It's a team nickname.
Yeah, but Painter likes wordplay. And so in my personal record book,
what was the one
I'm vetoing Gus Malzahn, and I'm going with Zach.
What was the one that you were tweeted the other day after Swiss Army Knife fell flat?
I think it was like Spencer Nye, the blocker guy, or Spencer Nye, the football guy. I've gotten both of those. We need a drop for that has somebody singing it. I think it'd be awesome. But anyway, so he is my winner on offense. I think he continues to do a good job doing the dirty work. And then on defense, I'll go with Tyron Truesdale. He got the start at the defensive tackle spot because Nick Coe did not start on the defensive front this week. And, so I'll go with that.
Marlon Davidson for me, and that's not, like, shocking as he won SEC Defensive Player of the Week and had, I think, probably his best game since, like, his freshman year.
Sure.
So I know that's...
Best game since his freshman year, huh?
I think you can make that argument.
Okay.
I think he really had an excellent game.
It's the first time I've really seen him take over and, you know, actually be like an issue throughout the game for the opposing offensive line. So, okay, I'm cool with it.
I mean, imagine if Derrick Brown just continues to do what he's doing consistently, which is bully pretty much everybody. I think you can count on that so long as he's healthy. Mm-hmm. And then Marlon Davidson has more games like that, and Nick Coe puts it together. There's nothing an offensive line can do about that at that point.
Yeah.
And then if Tyron Truesdale and other players are going to contribute, it kind of goes back to my point. I think that they really have the capability of being a top five defense if they're not on the field too much. Offensively, this one's more of a feel good thing, but Will Hastings, loved the little guy, got himself a score. I think he had, seven catches? Was it five catches? Either way,
he had about
75 yards and a touchdown. Mm-hmm. So both of mine kind of easy to see why those were.
No, that's fine.
For me on defense, it's the whole defensive line. So I'm going to go with Rodney Gardner. I mean, he's got to be the big winner right now.
Look at you thinking outside the playing field. Okay.
The defensive line looks absolutely dominant from top to bottom. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. There was a guy whose name I'd never heard before who was in there on first down making a play. So I think he's got to be up there. And then offensively, I think you got to go with the guys coming back from injuries. Eli Stove and Will Hastings. I mean, both of them have another good performance against Tulane. They've been your two most reliable offensive players through 2 weeks, maybe outside of Booby Whitlow. Those are my winners of the weekend.
And he had five catches. I said seven initially, but five for 75 and a touchdown.
He had a good game.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I like the Rodney Gardner point. I think a good point about, I mean, if the defensive line plays like that consistently, even if the offense struggles, they will be in most games in the second half.
Do you want to do losers now?
Mm-hmm.
I am a loser.
Zach Blackerby. No, I'll go with Booby Whitlow. Obviously, ball security was an issue. I think he missed some open holes and... I mean, if you listen to the show consistently, you know my thoughts on Booby Whitlow. I think he needs to step up, but he did not step up this past Saturday. So I'll go with Booby Whitlow.
I would generally agree with that, but since you've already said him, I'll go Caleb Kim.
Okay.
I think as the center, it's such a tough position to play. The interior generally has struggled, and I think that position's so important. So to not be too repetitive, I'll go with Caleb Kim.
All right.
Mine are running backs 2 through 6 on the depth chart because obviously Gus hates them. Because sure. Booby Whitlow fumbled 3 times and stayed in the football game.
That's wild to me. And we talked about that a little bit yesterday. Painter, that's kind of that says something, right?
It made more sense to me in the Oregon game when they got down 2 scores and they just were like, we have to feed it to him.
But he played so well in the Oregon game. He was
second half.
Well, they didn't give him the ball in the second quarter. So, I mean, it's like, you know, the 3 quarters he got the ball.
And the offensive line did start getting more of a push in the second half to his defense. But I got why they just went to him 24 times in the Oregon game. It's like you're proven, and they clearly think he's the best back. So it's like, fine. But then in the Tulane game, you mentioned the ball security won, and then it just didn't seem like they were willing. I didn't think that they had to run him as much. I would have thought Sean Shivers and Cam Martin would have been perfectly capable against a Tulane defense of racking up plenty of touches.
I want to give a shout out to our friends at Fetch Me. They are run by an alum of Auburn and have the greatest variety of restaurants to order and get your meal delivered in Auburn and Opelika. If you are looking to have your family meal delivered in less than 40 minutes, you need to go to Fetch Me. Fetch Me has a great selection of anything you want, including meals from your favorite restaurants, groceries, and coffee. I have to say Fetch Me also has the friendliest and fastest service in town. Fetch Me does that because their mission to change the delivery experience by ensuring each order is delicious, accurate, timely, and most of all, you have a great experience. Fetch Me is the best in the business. Go check out Fetch Me at fetchmedelivery.com and use promo code FETCHME20 to get your first delivery free. That's FETCHME20 for your first delivery free.
And Zach, I think you're a little hard on Booby Whitlow.
I agree with you.
I think he is. I think he's a good running back. I'm not going to sit here and be like he's in the same conversation as Trey Mason and Kerryon Johnson or even Peyton Barber, guys, you know, that have gone on to play in the NFL. But I think he's a top half at least SEC running back right now. I mean, I'm not sure I could name 7 running backs in the SEC that are better than he is. I could probably name 2. Oh, 3. 3?
Do you want to name them?
Yeah, Kylan Hill at Mississippi State, Keyshawn Vaughn at Vanderbilt, and Najee Harris at Alabama.
I would say also at Georgia.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
DeAndre I just think Swift, if you put an average SEC starter in Malzahn's offense, they will be good.
And, I mean, he's played well, right? I mean, he's got good numbers. Obviously, the 3 fumbles are not good, but
I think that was just a bad night.
Yeah.
I don't think ball security is his issue.
I don't either.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, he averaged almost 4 yards a carry last week and probably something similar this week.
See, I feel like I would push back some on, like, Gus Malzahn hasn't really had average running backs. I think the best case, I guess, you could make was at least coming out of high school in terms of perception would have been Cameron Petway.
Yeah.
But, you know, and now Booby Whitlow kind of follows that sense of being a 2-star recruit. But when I think
how about, highly touted was Cap or Barber? I don't remember.
I think Barber was a 3-star.
Okay.
But, you know, he's playing in the NFL. Same with Cap. Regardless of their perception, they ended up being NFL running back. So
I think Booby will get a shot in the league because I think his game actually matches the NFL game more as far as being a third down back and being, you know, used out of the backfield in the slot. I think he translates better to the NFL than any other running back on Auburn's roster.
I don't think Auburn's had, like, I get your point, the idea of, like, if you are just a capable running back, you should be moderately successful in the offense. And then, like, the best running backs, particularly, say, Kerryon Johnson and at least Trey Mason, while it didn't work out for him in the NFL, I don't think we've seen a lot of average running backs at Auburn. I think they've been pretty exceptional.
That's a good point. That's a fair point. All right, so Auburn picked up a non-conference foe in 2023.
Cost a lot of money.
Was a $1.85 million for New Mexico State, the Aggies, to come to Jordan-Hare Stadium.
Do you think that Auburn will be able to eclipse the 55-point line that Alabama had?
No.
Wow.
I mean,
no faith.
I mean,
no, and also if Alabama wanted to make it 155, they could have.
But also, it's like it's impossible to know because will any of the players that are on campus right now play in that game?
No. Will the coaching staff be there?
Well,
it's a great question.
Not even the actual score differential, but like the Vegas line was the biggest ever on the Alabama-New Mexico State game.
I'm surprised they put out a line, actually, with it being that high. I'm surprised there even was a line. But
biggest ever. They didn't cover, obviously.
It was 52, though. I mean, they were...
They got pretty close.
They were, more or less, I guess they were... Still wouldn't have covered with another field goal, but
all right. But yeah, looking at the non-conference lineups now in 2020, Alcorn State, North Carolina, that game's in Atlanta, Southern Miss, and UMass. 2021, Akron, Penn State on the road, Georgia State, Alabama State. 2022, Mercer, Penn State, Western Kentucky, and then in 2023, Cal and New Mexico State. And that Cal game's in Berkeley. 2024, Cal is at home at Jordan-Hare. You get Baylor in 2025 and 2026, with 2026 being the home game. And then UCLA in 2027, that one's in LA, and 2028 is UCLA back at home. So,
and I'll be at both of those last two games that you named, so if anyone's trying to make travel plans, just pencil me in for those.
All right, you think we'll still be doing the podcast in 2027 and
2028? Hope so. I mean, the podcast, at that point, it's going to be like a television show, probably.
That'd be awesome.
At worst.
Catches every day on YouTube. I got to start working out harder than
if that's for real. The case. Yeah, I definitely got to lose some weight. We have almost a decade, though. So
our diet starts tomorrow.
Right. Cool. I feel like there was something else I wanted to talk. Oh, it's just funny looking that far ahead, and it's like, you know, Jay Jacobs is gone because Clemson's not on there anymore.
Damn. Wow. just beating a dead horse there.
I'm just saying. That dude loved to schedule Clemson. That's all I'm saying.
There are some really good, major Power 5 teams in there, obviously. But the number two at a conference game, like that second best team, I think Auburn's done a great job of scheduling those. I mean, this year with Tulane, Tulane's going to be a good team.
I think that was luck this year.
Well, they're all kind of luck.
You're right.
Let's be honest, because you schedule them so far in advance. But who is the one you said for next year?
For 2020?
Yeah.
We have North Carolina and Southern Miss and UMass
and
Alcorn State.
Southern Miss and UMass are both good opponents, right? I mean, Southern Miss always...
What about North Carolina?
Under Mac Brown, I mean, they're 2-0, so shout out to them. But
Alcorn State, your thoughts?
Alcorn's a garbage. And I might
also, Alcorn, not a state.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Despite the name Alcorn State.
Can you look that up and confirm for us?
Googled, correct. Also, speaking of beating dead horses, Trey Mason was a 4-star.
Okay.
I just bumped the mic. I'm sorry, folks. That's rude. Cameron Artis Payne is was a 4-star. Peyton Barber was a 3-star. And so was Cameron Petway, although he was first at his position in the state of Alabama and the 11th-ranked person. So,
how far back does that go? Do you have Ben Tate up there?
I think he was fairly highly recruited. I want to say he was a 4-star, but let me check since I'm just throwing things out that I don't actually know.
Cool.
We love that.
And then, but it's just there's so many in there, though, that it also didn't work, which is fascinating to me. Like Rock being a 5-star,
mm-hmm.
Asa Martin, I think, was a 4-star.
Yeah, Tate was highly recruited.
Yeah, but Asa Martin's now about to be on his third team in 2 years. Yeah. So.
Man, he looks young in this picture. 4-star, nationally ranked the 44th best player in his class. Yeah.
Sweet.
Michael Dyer.
Yeah, he was good.
While he was here, he was excellent.
Right.
As far as I mean, obviously Auburn's done a great job of recruiting running backs.
I totally hijacked that we were talking about schedules. My apologies.
No, it was a terrible conversation. You saved it. Yeah. No, this is good.
Peter, I mean, I feel like I was making a decent point there, but
I think you were killing him.
Zach just didn't care, so then he started talking about Alcorn State.
Which isn't a state.
It's not a state, despite the name. Where can people find you and hear you, Painter?
Check me out, 11-1, on the lunch break at ESPN 106.7, and of course on Twitter at PaintSharpless.
You can check me out today on the lunch break from 11 to 1, live on ESPN 106.7, and follow me on Twitter at CouchPapTato.
Follow me on Twitter at ZBlackerby. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Auburn. This has been another edition of the Locked On Auburn podcast.
It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.